It's time for High Plains Public Radio's weekly program, Growing on the High Plains. Here's Skip.
When I returned to the land of Skye years ago and began to grow a garden, I planted old things, new things, borrowed and blue things with reckless abandon. Most of these early efforts left a lot to be desired, but one planting marked with success was my sweet potato vines. I still remember the mat of bright green leaves, and I also remember digging them in the fall and being overjoyed by the size of my tuberous treasures. Since that first foray into the gardening unknown, I haven't grown sweet potatoes very often, but not because I didn't want to. I've grown them whenever I could find them, but the local source for sweet potato slips or starts dried up, and I never seemed to find time to grow my own. Then this past summer, one of my tried and true catalogs offered them, and I eagerly awaited their arrival in late May. Sweet potatoes are a plant from the tropics, so you want to plant them when all possibilities of late freezes have subsided. They produce best in poorer soils because lots of fertilizer or nitrogen will give you wonderful vines, but few tubers. Commercial production is centered in the south, where hot temps and sandy soil are ideal. Although easy to grow, sweet potatoes take some before and after care. The soil must be prepared and ridged. They must be protected from spring and fall frosts. And to taste their best, they need curing for a week after harvest. In the U.S., the terms yams and sweet potatoes are used interchangeably, but in truth, yams are grown in Africa. Sweet potatoes came to us from South America. The reason we use the word yam probably stems from the African word nayam, applied by slaves in the American South as they worked the sweet potato fields. To add further nomenclature confusion, markets in Florida feature boniato, a white-fleshed form of sweet potato that's a staple of the diet in Cuba and the Caribbean. And in no way are sweet potatoes related to Irish spuds, not even as distant kissing cousins. Whatever you call them, these starchy roots provide excellent eating. Most Americans have sweet potatoes once or twice a year as candied yams for winter holidays. They're also featured in sweet potato pie and other baked goods. But if you really want to add this powerhouse of beta-carotene to your diet, look for ethnic cookbooks. There you'll find soups from Brazil and Liberia, Miami's sweet potato salad, Haitian fritters, and side dishes for pork and beef. When I think of sweet potato recipes, my mind moves back in time to two of my favorites. My Aunt Mickey used to make sweet potato chips, paper-thin sliced and deep-fried. She'd pile them on a stack of dish towels to soak up the oil, then salt them and give them over to us kids to eat by the hot handful, sometimes mixed in with roasted peanuts fixed fresh from the field. They were sinfully delicious and put plain old potato chips to shame. I've never tried to fix them, partly because my lifestyle today doesn't incorporate a deep fat fryer, and also because I know they wouldn't taste the same. I think food from childhood was flavored by the time, place, and loving hands that prepared it. My other memory of sweet potato cuisine comes later in life, in the mid-60s, when I was working in the Fillmore District of San Francisco. Hungry for the tastes of home, I would drop in at Mama Gilmore's Soul Food Cafe and roll my past upon my tongue with her sweet potato pie. There were a couple of young guys, supposedly named Seals and Croft, who would sometimes be sitting in the corner singing for their supper. But that was a different time and a different place altogether.
Growing on the High Plains is a production of High Plains Public Radio. It's written and narrated by Skip Mancini, and it's produced by Brian Burrell. To hear more Growing on the High Plains, visit hppr.org.